Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Small is Beautiful Economics, As If People Mattered, is a collection of essays by economist E.F. Schumacher, first published in 1973 and later reissued in paperback. It belongs to the tradition of economic and social criticism rather than textbook economics, and it responds directly to the crises of industrial growth, energy dependence, and large-scale production that shaped the 1970s. Schumacher argues that mainstream economics had become too narrowly focused on output, scale, and efficiency while ignoring human dignity, ecological limits, and the quality of life. The book is best known for challenging the idea that bigger is automatically better, and for proposing a more humane approach built around appropriate technology, local self-reliance, and ethical restraint in consumption. Its essays combine practical policy critique with philosophical reflection, making the book influential far beyond economics. Readers encounter not a single argument in a linear form, but a set of linked meditations on how society should organize work, technology, and development around people rather than abstract growth targets. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a direct challenge to growth-centered economics. At the center of the book is a critique of the assumption that economic progress can be measured mainly by expanding production and consumption. Schumacher argues that an economy obsessed with growth can lose sight of permanence, social cohesion, and environmental limits. In this view, more output is not automatically better if it depends on exhausting natural resources or weakening community life. The book does not reject economics itself. Instead, it asks economics to recover its moral purpose and judge success by whether it improves human well-being. This is one reason the book remains relevant in debates about sustainability and inequality. Schumacher treats the economy as a human system embedded in nature, not a self-justifying machine. That perspective helps explain why the book reads as both economic critique and social philosophy. It insists that the real question is not how large an economy can become, but what kind of life it makes possible for ordinary people. Secondly, intermediate technology as a practical alternative to industrial gigantism. One of Schumacher's most influential ideas is intermediate technology, sometimes called appropriate technology. The concept argues for tools and production methods that are simpler, cheaper, and more locally manageable than the massive systems favored by industrialized economies. Rather than depending on capital-intensive machinery and centralized expertise, intermediate technology aims to fit local labor, skills, materials, and needs. This matters because many development strategies fail when they import large systems that communities cannot maintain or afford. Schumacher's approach offers a different model technology should empower people instead of making them dependent on distant institutions. The significance of this idea is practical as well as philosophical. It shifts the definition of progress from scale and complexity toward usability and social usefulness. The book therefore appeals not only to critics of industrialization, but also to development thinkers seeking realistic ways to improve living standards without copying the most resource-intensive patterns of wealthy countries. Thirdly, Buddhist economics and the ethical purpose of work. Schumacher's discussion of Buddhist economics gives the book its most distinctive philosophical dimension. He uses the idea to question the assumption that economic life should be organized around endless desire, maximum consumption, and relentless competition. Instead, he proposes that economics should respect limits, cultivate mindfulness, and reduce suffering. Work is not treated merely as a cost to be minimized. It is also a human activity that can nurture skill, dignity, and meaningful participation. This framing turns the usual priorities of economics upside down. The value of an economic system is not only how much it produces, but what kind of people it encourages us to become. Schumacher's use of Buddhist ideas is not presented as a religious conversion of economics, but as a moral correction to its narrowness. He asks readers to consider whether current patterns of labor and consumption really serve contentment, compassion, and human development. That gives the book an unusual depth compared with more technical critiques of capitalism. Fourthly, decentralization, local economies, and community resilience. Another major theme is the argument for decentralization. Schumacher repeatedly favors smaller scale structures because they are more responsive to human needs and less likely to become socially distant or environmentally destructive. Large systems can be efficient in narrow technical terms, but they often concentrate power, reduce accountability, and disconnect decision-making from local realities. By contrast, local economies can preserve skills, encourage participation, and keep wealth circulating within communities. The book links this idea to agriculture, manufacturing, and governance, suggesting that scale should be chosen according to human and ecological appropriateness rather than prestige. This is not a romantic rejection of organization or modernity. It is a disciplined argument that some problems are better handled close to the people affected by them. The practical implication is that resilience often comes from diversity, small ownership, and locally adapted production. That helps explain the book's influence on later movements that emphasize local purchasing, fair trade, and community-centered development. Lastly, A Moral Critique of Consumption and the Meaning of Sufficiency, Schumacher also asks readers to rethink personal consumption. He does not simply accuse individuals of greed. He shows how modern societies normalize luxuries until they begin to feel like necessities. That shift expands demand endlessly and makes restraint seem abnormal. His counterargument is that people should scrutinize their needs, simplify where possible, and resist celebrating forms of progress that lack permanence. This gives the book a strong ethical edge because it treats consumption as a matter of character and social responsibility, not just personal preference. The analysis is valuable because it connects everyday habits to larger economic systems. Individual choices matter, but they matter most when they challenge a culture that equates well-being with acquisition. Schumacher's emphasis on sufficiency stands out because it is neither ascetic for its own sake nor naive about material hardship. He seeks a realistic middle ground in which prosperity is defined by adequacy, balance, and the capacity to live well without excess. In conclusion, Small is Beautiful will be most valuable for readers interested in economics, environmental thought, development policy, and critiques of industrial society. It is especially useful for anyone who wants to understand why later conversations about sustainability, localism, and degrowth found such an important early voice in Schumacher. The book offers more than a political slogan about smaller scale. It gives a coherent framework for asking when technology helps people, when growth becomes destructive, and why economic systems must be judged by human and ecological consequences rather than by size alone, compared with many books in social criticism. It stands out because it combines philosophical seriousness with concrete policy ideas, such as intermediate technology and decentralized production. It also remains unusual in the way it joins economics to ethics, without reducing either one to the other. Readers looking for a conventional business or policy manual may find it indirect. But those seeking a disciplined challenge to mainstream economic assumptions will find it durable and thought-provoking. Its lasting value lies in making restraint, locality, and human scale intellectually respectable alternatives rather than nostalgic ideals. If you would like to support E.F. Schumacher, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.